see a couple of brothers here from New York City. I believe you're from New York, sir?
Yes, sir. Washington, D.C.
Washington, okay. And brother here, Louis, from Brooklyn, New York. And maybe we could get some input as to what is being done in other areas. So let's open in prayer, and we'll get going, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time we could have together. We thank you, Lord, for the concern that you have given to each one of us, for those that live in the cities of this great country. We pray, God, that you will challenge us, that you will give us a vision of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his heart for those who live in the city. We pray, God, that you will speak to us through your word, speak to us, Lord, through fellowship, and Lord, speak to us through the things we'll be discussing about New York City. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, our topic is basically work in the city. And it's more than just the cities, but the inner city, okay? And cities around the world form the bulk of missions needs. And the reason for this is that one half of the world's population now lives in 40 mega city centers. At least one half of the whole world is packed together in great big cities. 3 billion people are crowded into cities. 3 billion people. And we're told to go into all the world and meet all people. And the cities are teeming with people. In the last 80 years, the world's urban population has grown from 5% to over 50%. An interesting thing about cities is that each city is a mosaic reflection of the world's ethnic groups. And this is so true. I think in Toronto, in Chicago, in Washington, in New York City, in Los Angeles, you have people from all over the world. And it's so interesting, the people that are crowded in the city. New York City is one of the most international cities in the world. Nations have come within the borders of New York, and there are over 100 languages spoken in this great and native city. You could go to any place in New York and maybe some of the other cities, and you'll have people of different backgrounds, from different languages, from different countries, people who have come into America to get, you know, get the piece of the pie, and it becomes a big problem in our country. As far as just showing some of my background, I came to the United States many moons ago, when I was on 11, and we have lived in New York City since then. The Lord saved me right in Brooklyn, New York, in a little area known as Bushwick, and I grew up in that assembly. The Lord saved me in that assembly, and called me into the work of the Lord over 30 years ago. So I've been working in the city of New York for the last 30 years. And I have some slides I'll show you a little later just to show you some of the things that we are doing and have done and continue to do in order to reach some of the people that live in the city. Now, there is a difference between city and the inner city. Something that maybe a lot of people don't realize, simply because most people will not enter an inner city situation. And this is true of most people. Because we hear so much on the radio, see on television, you see some of these shows that depict life in Chicago or in Los Angeles and New York City, and it's really kind of scary. And some of it is not true, but most of it is true. So a lot of people will not enter what is known as the inner city. This is true of people from, even from missionaries that go out of the deepest jungles of some Latin American country or Africa. But you tell them, well, let's come to the city. No, that's one place I keep away from. And this is the mindset that people have of the inner city. I had some statistics on the makeup of people in one of the largest jails in New York City, Rikers Island and some of the other jails in New York City. And the ethnic population, and which kind of gives us a picture of what the inner city is like, who makes up the inner city. 57% of those incarcerated in New York are people of color, black population, 57%. 35% are Hispanic. These are people who have come from different parts of Central America, South America, some of the islands like Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. I'm Puerto Rican myself. So you have 35%, maybe more, that make up that population. And then you have 7% that are white, Anglo, that end up in jail, and then 1% is other, or some Asians in that kind of population. So the bulk of the people that are incarcerated are these minority groups. And looking into that, the statistics of who makes up people, I'm speaking more in New York City, because I'm from New York City, I think this is the makeup of what the inner city is like. If you never entered an inner city, you won't have an appreciation of some of the needs that are there, but this is the type of people, the ethnic backgrounds of the people that live within the inner city. And I don't know just how to describe it, but I'll just like to show you this time a few slides of what New York City, inner city, looks like. And just give you an idea so you get a taste of a better appreciation of the needs that there are within the inner city. Could you do me a favor, push the button back of that projector. I think this will help you to maybe get an idea of now I'm speaking specifically here about New York, because that's where I'm from, but if you're from another city, I think you will also get the feel of what happens in other cities, what kind of the situations that are found. I've lived some years in Chicago. I spent some time doing some house-to-house work in Philadelphia and other places where there's need. And most people look at a city, and as I said before, there are 40 mega city centers all around the world where there are over 3 billion people. So cities are tremendous places to have testimonies, have local assemblies, have outreach. And not only that, but cities could become a training center for those who would like to be missionaries to other parts of the world, simply because you have people from all over the world. And New York City is one of the greatest cities. And when you think of a city, you think of the buildings, you think of the amount of business that goes on, the amount of commerce and all the things that make up a big city. Most people that come to New York will travel to Manhattan, and they'll hit the United Nations. They'll go over to the Statue of Liberty. They'll hit the World Trade Center. They'll go to Broadway, Madison Avenue, Central Park. This is what most people look at. So when you look into the city and you start descending from the height of the lights that make up Manhattan, you start coming down to what the inner city is more like. And cities have many, many churches. Manhattan, this is a church in Manhattan. You have other churches. You have a mosque. The Muslims are heavily involved in New York, and I'm sure in other minority areas. This is black Muslims are very powerful in New York, in some areas of New York. And they have come into areas and have been spreading their doctrine, their teachings to their people. We see this in jails, in visit jails. You have many Muslims that are very militant, and they're anti just about anything that has to do with white people and with Christianity. And it forms a tremendous challenge to be able to reach these people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also have many, many little inner city churches. Little cities, most inner cities will have storefronts for churches. And you can't buy property, you can't afford to rent a large hall. It is prohibitive because of the cost and the availability of any place to meet to worship. But the Lord has raised up many churches and people who gather together in small places to worship the Lord. Now this is more what the inner city looks like. Okay, if you were to come to where our chapel is and where we have lived for 30 years, this is known as worship. You probably saw on the news just a couple of weeks ago a little girl who was battered and beaten and eventually killed. And it was all over the news, it was in Time magazine. Well, that little girl lived in this area. The funeral that was held was just something like 5 blocks from our chapel. This is a situation of what the inner city is like. And this is why you have so many people, a lot of people, that end up in somewhere like the city jail because of the desperate need that there is within the city. And this is some shots I took some time ago in our area of Bushwick. But you could say this area, and you could go to just about any city, and you have great populations of people. This is a fire in a rural area, not too far from the chapel. And that gives you an idea of the amount of people that gather and live within very small confines, in city buildings, in tenement houses, row houses, and there's tremendous need. What do the kids see? What happens to them in the city? Well, this is something that you will see. You'll see depressing sights, and this is something that our boys and girls that come to our chapel, come to our Warner Club, some of our people, we don't have to go to these areas. People are constantly dumping garbage. It is really an eyesore. You have one good thing is for the guys that look for auto parts, you have your own auto parts department in many areas of the city. But you have a constant, you're hesitant to park your car someplace. Something will always happen. We had a brother who, maybe you know, Dave Seitzler, he came and spoke just couple of weeks ago in our chapel. And he parked his car across the street from the chapel. And just in a matter of an hour, they started his fender, they stole some of his lights, and they were working some other areas. But this happens a lot, so there's apprehension. And this is why people move out of the inner city, because of some of the dangers that there are. This particular place was an abandoned building, and for years they were selling drugs, and that little hole they made there would just sell the drugs. And there's a tremendous problem with drugs. Some of the areas, some of the kids, places to play, you might have them out playing out on the street. There are places where they play also, but there are other areas where the depression and the need is so tremendous. All across our area, you'll have paintings of young men who were involved in drugs, either selling, taking, or just doing something with them. That's their business, this is their livelihood. And you see them all across the city in memory of Stephen. There was a young man who was killed right in that area. He was dealing with drugs. We have another one across the street who passed away again. And these are some of the men and the young boys who are the models for a lot of these kids that live in the inner city. Another one, you have them all over. Rest in peace. So we know these people know rest in peace because they're not Christians. They weren't Christians when they got killed in some violent way. So you have them scattered all over the city. This is a painting right in front of our chapel where we have depicted some of the young men that live in the area. And it was here just a couple years ago, we see that little quote there. There was a violent killing that took place right in that corner where two men got killed, assassinated right there by an individual. And we were having a meeting at the chapel at the time on a Friday night, and we all had to evacuate the premises because the guy who died had a live grenade in his hand, and the bomb squad had to come and take away the grenade before they could take away the body. So there is definitely some violence within the inner city, and it's scattered all over. Now, that's just a picture of some of the situations that are found within the inner city. And they really are, when you consider it, really desperate needs within the inner city. I'm talking about the inner city. And these are people that that most people will not go in and reach out to them. First of all, because of the danger. There is danger going into some of these areas. There is corruption where you have guys selling drugs. And if you come from the, one of you guys or girls comes into our area, you'll probably have a bunch of guys try to sell you something because they think the only reason why white people will come into our area would be to buy drugs or to do something illegal. Otherwise, they don't come into anything else unless they are Christians who are out there trying to reach these boys and girls and young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's one of the, just a picture of it. It isn't all that bad. Okay, I'm putting a picture that this is probably the worst, but it's a reality that we live in. And just like Brother Dave was speaking about, sometimes you become so accustomed to the garbage, to the drug addicts, to the pushers, to the violence, to the young guys hanging out on the street that you can become really depressed and say, what's it all about? What am I doing here? And yet, we know that the answer to the problems of the inner city is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that's able to take hold of sin and able to stop corruption and able to bring salvation to the lives of these people. Please shut the light there, or projector, and put on the light, please, if you can. I'd like to just get into something of what the solution is to the needs of the inner city. And I'd like to look into the Word of God, because the answers to the needs of the world are not found in some man-made projects or ideas or ideals, but they're found in the Word of God. And I'd like to just challenge you and challenge myself and Trish as to what God has commissioned us to do and what it's going to take for the assembly to get involved within the city. Somebody was depicting, telling me about assembly work, and he was saying, well, you know, we in the assemblies, we don't work with the rich. You know, we don't reach too many rich people, and we don't work with the real poor, we don't get involved, we don't have too many assemblies or works within the inner cities as such. We work more with suburbans, and I think that's typical of assemblies all across the country, where this is a trend, and it's a natural thing what has happened within the city. The cities have become minorities, okay? These are Hispanics, people of color, or the more Asians are coming in and living, and the white population has gone out to the suburbs. And I'm not minimizing the needs of the suburbs. Sometimes there's more need out there than there is in the city. I find that many times people within the city are more receptive. Children are more open. And they show more love. Little kids that have lost their fathers and things like that, they just crave for love. We have a family right now that comes in our chapel of a mother of 6 kids, and the husband got killed a couple of years ago. And a beautiful little kid. And he had just given birth to the 6th child, and he got killed. He must have been about 25, maybe even younger. And they have a tremendous mural of the father, one of the biggest ones of that, that was painted in the area. And the little kid said, yeah, that's my daddy, that's where my daddy is. And it just breaks your heart to see what is going on. So here you have a mother living within the inner city, and you have these beautiful kids. Here's why you have so many tragedies. You hear about kids getting burned, kids being left alone, kids being mistreated, being abused by relatives and people in his life because they're all alone, these kids. And the mother can't cope. These kids came to our church on a chapel on Sunday for the Christmas Eve service. And I asked him where his mother was. And he said, well, my mother was in jail visiting one of my uncles. And he had these other little taken to another house, one of the French houses, to stay for the day. So there are tremendous needs within the city, and there are tremendous needs within children and young people. It's a tremendous void within the lives of young men and young ladies. Many of them don't make it to school. Many of them drop out of school. Many of them are in school and they're basically trying to survive physically. It's a lot of violence. And some of the schools within the inner city, there is very little teaching going on. Teachers are more guarding their own lives. And they come in from outside the suburbs to teach and get the pay and go out. And that's the case in many, many areas. My daughter just graduated from college last May, and she just started teaching right in our area in Worcester. And she's just starting to listen to some of the stories of some of the teachers and the conditions in some of these schools. And one guy was saying, well, they pulled a knife on me 3 times, and when you have a parent-teacher conferences, they have to set up the room, put tables in front, because the parents are just as violent as the children. And they will not take the side of the teachers. And the teachers are definitely afraid of what's going to happen. My daughter was telling me that she was told by one of the teachers that one of the superintendents of the school in the area, somebody who has real clout and authority to do things in the school, saw a little girl, a teenage girl, a junior high school girl with a hat on in the class. This guy wasn't from the assembly. You know that our girls are right to have a hat. But he said, what is that little girl doing over there? A hat. And the teacher said, well, you ask her. And the superintendent told her, please take your hat off. And she cursed at the guy and said, you take it off of me. And just said some vile language. And so the man said to her, do you know who I am? He said, I don't care who you are. And he gives him again that language. And he said, I have authority. I'm going to go see your mother. I'm taking you there. And the little girl said, well, you go ahead. You come to my block. I'll have all my boys with rifles and guns. And when you get to my place, we'll take care of you. This is the attitude that a lot of these young people have. And they don't all have it, but they have a chip on the shoulder. And we have been led of the Lord for many years to take in the foster kids. And we have some of these kids in some of these schools. And just the fighting that goes on is tremendous. So I'm just trying to paint a picture of what the inner city is. It is not a nice place to live. Some of the housing, you go into some of these places, and people don't take care of the house. They don't take care of the apartment. I've gone up some places and going up the stairs and you see a big rat coming down the stairs. I mean, some rats are crazy. You know, you expect the rat to run the other way. But you have this rat coming down the stairs. And those are some of the needs that we have. And that makes it difficult also for inner city assemblies. Because once you get people staying within those confines, you would like for them to move to a better area where they could raise up the children and have a better fighting chance for themselves, for the children, better schools and that kind of thing. But we finished, 11:45. Okay, let's just look at a couple of passages that I think depict for us what the answer is to the needs of not only the inner city, but the needs of any city, or any town, or any assembly. And the answer, again, is found within the Word of God. I like to look just, these are well-known verses. One of them is Ephesians chapter 4, where the way to get worship, people who have a heart for souls, a heart for assemblies, a heart for lost a large generation like we have in many of our cities is to have men and women within the local confines of the local assembly to grow in the Lord, to be able to go out and do the work of the Lord. See, the answer to the needs of the city, of the needs of an assembly, is not found in one pastor, in one minister, or in one organization that will come in and clean up the area. That is not God's way of doing things. That will work maybe for a little time, but you need people who are commissioned not by man, but by God. And in order to be commissioned by God, you have to grow. And God has to put a burden in your heart and fire in your soul that will just cause you to go out and do the work of God, no matter where it is. And this has happened all across the world. But we have to consider that our nation here, and our cities especially, like the cities some of you guys come from, we need men and women, young people, who have this desire, who are willing to let the Lord mold them and then thrust them out to areas where there's tremendous need. And look at what the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 4. It says in verse 10, "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, the purpose of God giving gifts, men who are gifted by the Spirit of God, is that the saints will be equipped, the Christians will be equipped, the young people will be equipped to do the work of ministry, to become ministers to the church, and to become ministers to those who are outside the church in bringing to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So very important, the base upon which we could build any assembly, any work that's been done in this world has to come, it has to be done properly, it has to be done through the Word of God, and by the use of God's ministers, God's pastors and teachers of the Bible is here, to equip our young people, to equip adults, to equip those who come in, and then let the Lord give them a vision and a desire, a passion for souls. And this will happen if we do it the right way. And this is really important. No matter what we do, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. There is no quick fix in the Word of God. It might take years. Okay, God needed a man like Moses. It took him 40 years out in the palace, 40 years in the desert, and then God commissioned. Now, none of us is going to live that long, so you've got to start a little early. But there's work to be done, but God is going to prepare us. Joseph was a man that was used greatly, but he spent time suffering, and I think it takes a lot of time, some of that, to prepare us for the work that the Lord has for us. Now, when this happens, when the saints are edified and we get involved in ministry, then what follows after that is very important. It says in verse 13, "So we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness, by which they lie in wait to deceive." Now, this is an important little verse, because, you know, you're not going to get involved with other people unless you grow up to become a man or woman of God. You know, when we're children, everything is mine. Isn't that a fact? With children, you give them one thing, they want two. You give them two, they want more. And a lot of Christians are like that. We're still children. God gives us possessions, gives us abilities, and it's all mine for my little world, my little house, my little family, my little this and this. But if you grow up in the Lord, and God puts a burden in your heart, then as a grown adult in Christ, the things God gives you is not for yourself, but to share with others. And this is important. And maybe the problem that we have in most assemblies and churches is that the Church of Jesus Christ hasn't grown up. We haven't taken the time to grow up. Because if you grow up in the Lord, if every Christian is growing, you are going to reproduce.
You're going to be involved with God, with Jesus Christ, with his people, and with the Lord. This is called, will come naturally. Okay? It takes time. But once you mature, then you're able to reproduce yourself. And this is really important. So we need people who are sitting under the ministry of the Word of God in your local assembly, people who are growing as they minister to, and then as God speaks to you, then you become a minister yourself, a servant to others, and your eyes will be focused on what the Lord wants you to do. And if there is an area where God has placed a desire in your heart, God is going to mold you, prepare you, and He's going to take you there, and He's going to protect you. And we need people who are like this. So that will be a challenge from the Word of God. Start writing your local assembly. Start growing in the Word. Bless you. Start studying the Word of God. Get yourself ready. God is going to do something. And it takes a little time, but that's God's way. And then I think you have to have something of the mindset of the Apostle Paul to work within the inner city or to work with any place at all. If you look at chapter 20 of Acts chapter 20, we have something of Paul's desire, Paul's life work, and abandonment to the Lord. Acts chapter 20, then verse 17, Acts 20, 17, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I have always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears, and trials which happened to me by the Lord, and how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house." This is something that has to happen within the inner city. Teach publicly, but also from house to house. Because the world is not going to come into a chapel. People who are unsaved, on drugs, the people who have deep problems, people who have nothing to wear. You know, most of our chapels, we all dress, you know, kind of nicely when we come to the chapel on Sunday. So some of these women that we work with, and some of these mothers and some of these children, they don't have. And some of them say, "I'm not going to go to this place tonight. I don't have any skirts. I don't have any dresses." Some of these kids, they come in there just like they just get out of bed. So you have to have an atmosphere and have services and outreaches and things where you can reach them. They won't be embarrassed to come. And if they don't come, we have to go to where they are. I mean, this is what the Bible says. Go into all the world. And some of us are trying to catch fish in a bathtub. You never catch them there. You have to go out to the sea. You have to go out to the river. You have to go out where they're at. And that's where we have to go. So Paul says that he went from house to house. He spoke publicly. We have to bring him in and get him grounded in the Word, and it can't happen. And people do get saved in the city, and they become tremendous men of God, young people of God, and it's tremendous to see. And he keeps on speaking, he says in verse 5, "And how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." So here is the message. You have to start with the Lord. You have to preach the Word of God. You can get involved in so many other things. Social work, educational services, helping them in their financial needs. And all of these things are valid, and we should get involved some way with the people in need. But the greatest need that everybody has is the Lord Jesus Christ, the preaching of the gospel. And Paul, that's what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He told Timothy, preach the Word. In the last days, there will be perilous times. There will be dangerous times. There will be troubled times. There will be times of like Paul says, peril all around. But Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the Word in season and out of season. Get the Word of God into the heart of men and women. And then Paul gives you something of his heart. He says, in verse 22, he says, "And see it now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testify in everything, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." But here is his heartbeat. Here is his desire. His goal in life was Jesus Christ. His goal in life was to fulfill his ministry, to preach the word, to establish sending, to be involved with the work of God. And this should be something of what should move our hearts. And Paul says, that doesn't bother me, because my goal in life is to please the Lord. My goal in life is to reach out. My goal in life is to bring other people to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, when you assess the need and you look at the situation, I think we all have to go back to the Word of God, to the way God wants us to work, and then go out and start doing some work for the Lord in the area that the Lord has called us. So Paul had this goal in his life, and I think we should. There's so many other passages we could go into, but I think to reach the inner city, you have to understand that there is such a place as an inner city. There is a place where people just don't go in, and there is a place that has to be reached, and it has to be reached through scriptural foundation, and men and women have to go out and go in and teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of the things that we have done, or maybe I just go over some of the things that we're doing within the context of our assembly, and just maybe give you some ideas of something you could get involved with. When you think of an inner city situation, maybe your assembly could get involved in sending a team to one of these big cities, one probably maybe assembly or a little mission station where some brethren are working. And the assemblies in America we need to focus more attention on some of these needs that there are within big cities like Los Angeles, Chicago, you've got Philadelphia, Washington, Minneapolis. I think they have thousands of inner city people, New York City. And a lot of times they're working on their own, and people don't realize that this is a mission field. And we have to. It could be a tremendous place for training people who are going to go to India, going to go to Jerusalem, who are going to go to Africa, who are going to go to South America, going to work amongst the Muslims. People from all these ethnic groups are found in these big cities. And you can even learn a language. You know, I went to find in one of the areas in our place that there's English spoken there. Because everybody there was Spanish, and you have some people who speak English. But you have tremendous needs. The Spanish population within America is just growing tremendously. In California, you have more Mexican Americans than you have any other population. I mean, they live there in Texas, and New York is being flooded with Mexicans and Central Americans, South Americans, people from the American Republic and Puerto Rico. It's just a tremendous, and it's not a melting pot. And you have sections of Colombians, sections of Argentinians, sections of Puerto Ricans and Dominicans and Salvadorans. So it is a tremendous place, and they need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the Hispanic areas, you don't need to know Spanish, because all the young people that come into America, they're put right into the classes and they start learning English. So the young people your age and college age young people, they all speak English, they prefer English, and they need to be reached as far as teaching is concerned. A lot of them need to be reached in depth of knowledge of the Word of God. English would be the thing that would help them. So there are tremendous things you could do. But let me show you a couple of things. Brother, can you put up the light and I'll show you a couple of things that we have done and are doing, and maybe just the things that you could get involved with. Can you turn on the projector there? Find the button? Get the light on again. So you can find the button. Okay, you got it there? There you go. Okay, now I did paint a brief picture of inner cities, and specifically Bushwick. New York has places like Harlem, Bed-Stuy, East New York, Bushwick, Williamsburg, and some of these areas are really a tremendous need if you go into the area. But we praise God that there are some areas that within the inner city and the government has come in and has built some areas right within the confines of Bushwick and some of these other areas that are very habitable, very neat, but some people call these the slums of the future, because the government has built housing that is second class. Within 3 or 4 years, 5 years, they become the same. So it's a tough situation, the catch 22. So this is our chapel in Bushwick. The Lord has given us a large building. When we first boarded, it cost, I think, $9,000 back many years ago. So it was a very large building. And we have two different things, okay, within the chapel. One of the things that you could do, or even get some teams of young people to come out and do some work within some of this inner city in chapel, is to help them with the physical facilities that they have, whether it be a storefront or if they have their own building. Right now in New York City, four of our Spanish assemblies have their own building. Some other chapels are very elaborate. We have people from the islands, like from Jamaica and Barbados, and those areas. They have very beautiful buildings in the city, and they're doing a great work in some of the areas of the city. But some of the Spanish assemblies are more poor, and the Lord has helped us, and they have sent men. We have a brother here who, Langworthy, who has come in. He's a builder, and he has come in time and again. This brother is a roofer from Rhode Island, and he has given his time. He put up the whole roof with us. He helped us fix some of this area. So these are, physically speaking, help can be given. And this will be a challenge to young people to come out to an area where you live with us or with some of the Christians and work with us. And this has been done in the area. One of the things that we have done, like I told you before, is we have taken in foster kids. These kids are living with us for over a year until the family got straightened out and they went back to the parents. But we have had over 20 kids that lived with us a certain amount of time. But that day, they were helping us out. These are kids from Ohio. They live in Cleveland. And we had them for a little while. But that's one area of work, that taking foster kids into your house. There are over 50,000 children looking for foster homes. And it's just, I'll give you a few stories of the things that are done. Anyway, there needs to be done. There are local assemblies within the city. We have nine Spanish local assemblies. My brother, who here is from Lee Avenue, an assembly in a Hasidic area of Williamsburg, and they have a lively testimony, and they're reaching out to people in the whole area. And we praise God for the assemblies that are in the inner city. People that live there, they work there, and they give their lives there for the things of the Lord. One of the ministries that we have is the ministry of blessing kids. We take kids, bring them into Sunday school and to the Awana Club that we hold every week. And that's a great need there. We just have need for a mechanic who will come in and help us out or do something with the van. Some of these vans are very antiquated. But that's what God has given us so far. And we use them for the glory of the Lord. One of the things that we have is the Awana Club. The kids are bound in the city. A lot of them have nothing to do. And one of the things that we have done is we take them in, open up a little gymnasium that we have in our chapel, and we use that extensively to reach many, many kids with the gospel. We've taken kids all over New York City and on to Connecticut and other places, and we have had competition in many areas, and they have won many medals and things. So we have a place where they come and they hear the gospel. We have to deal with teenagers and junior high school kids. And over the years we have had, we also have an outreach for kids using a little gymnasium for basketball. And there we have, again, we preach the gospel to these young people, and they come in Monday night, they come in at other times, and every time they come in, they sit down and they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have had some young people that have been saved, and we have a number of them that are in fellowship with us. And these are kids that are out on the streets, and we reach them with the good news. Young adults, we have a place where we can reach some of these men with the gospel of Jesus Christ also. So that's one area of work. The summertime we have, take them out to the park and just with them. Then our goal is to bring them to our youth meeting and have them sit down with us and worship the Lord together. One really important area of ministry is just having Bible studies at home. So my wife has Bible studies with some of these women that become Christians and beginning their walk with the Lord. And that's really an important thing, Bible studies.
getting them into the Word, that makes a big difference in the lives of people. One of the things that we could do in the summertime is once in a while we have meetings out in the outdoor where we just set up a loudspeaker and in this neighborhood and people will sit down and listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many, many areas of service. Another area of service would be teams that come into New York, like you may have seen that come in for years, that have come in the past, and they have done track work, open air work. And one other thing that it's really in our hearts is this matter of camp. Camp is tremendous because we take kids out of the city, and every summer we spend some 5 or more weeks working at camp and bringing out these children out from their environment into an area where they could come in and receive some of the love of God and just see something that is totally different. And there they could understand and experience something of the love of God. So those are some of the things, you get the lesson please, that we are doing. And this doesn't solve the problem that we have, but it's something that we do, okay, to try to reach some of these children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's so important. If you are working within the inner city, keep doing it. It's not easy, but the rewards are tremendous, because when you see people change, you see young people turned around, it's a tremendous thing. I've had the privilege now this last year of going to jail on Thursdays and Mondays, and there's a young fellow who got saved a few years ago, and we go together to Rikers Island and Queens House of Detention. And boy, it's a joy to see this young guy who has had a devastated background, where he was in jail himself. Before he was saved, he had 3 or 4 kids in the South and some kids around here. Now he got saved, totally changed. He's got a brother who's serving a life sentence for murder in upstate New York. And this guy, the Lord has taken such a hold of him that, I mean, it's a joy to go with him, because there isn't a person that doesn't stop and give him a try to speak to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a joy to see men like that. We have a young fellow who just got saved a couple of years ago. This guy's a rapper. He plays good basketball. The Lord saved him. He's brought him to fellowship. And now the Lord has changed his life around. And he's getting up and praising the Lord, Lord's up for another meeting. So there is hope. But the answer is still the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would challenge you to consider the inner city. Pray for the inner city. And ask God. Maybe the Lord will have you come into and spend a year, 6 months, sometime in areas of the city. There are missions. If you'd like to get a copy of this Macaulay Water Street Mission, a mission, one of the oldest missions in America. And there are some assembly people. The superintendent of this mission is an assembly person from New Jersey. If you'd like to get some ideas as to what they do, there are places you could go. In the summertime, I know teams go out to Mexico and to Europe, and you know, right in the city, there's things that could be done, and young people need to be exposed to other young people who have needs, and they can use their talents right within the city. There are other works, there are needs with mothers who have no fathers or no husbands, with children who have just kids of love, you know, male guys. People love you to death because they need some mail. It's tremendous. I mean, some of these kids, just to have a little boy who's 5 or 6, as Henry sit with me, you know. He has no father. And, you know, I really touched my heart last Sunday, this family of these 6 kids. And he didn't have, and nobody sit with him. But he made a little woman and said, Henry, sit over here. And that just broke my heart. But it's tremendous to be able to have some of these little kids. And some of these teenagers who have no hope. And there is hope when they see it in you. And I would challenge you as Christians to pray that the Lord will just put a burden on the city people of us, so we will not lose hope. We need to become depressed and just hang down your hands before there's so much sin. But God can encourage us, and He does do that. And you can pray that the Lord will challenge others to come into places like the city and become missionaries right in our own home, you know, in our own city.
and pray that the Lord send you himself, maybe to experience some of it. So we have around 5 minutes. We have somebody here from Minneapolis, maybe to give us some idea of something that you're doing that might be helpful. Maybe some of your needs there. Brother, you're from Washington. Can you give us a little idea? You worked there full time?
Yeah, well, Washington, D.C. has not exactly like New York, but not too far from you there. You know, it's divided into four quarters, and each quarter is somewhat different. Half of the city is having that much crime like the other half. One quarter in particular is very much something like out of the country still there. Looking beyond the city. However, we're working in one quarter, which is the northwest section. And some sections of this is dropped through, and we are in one of the rough areas there. In fact, we're going into the chapter and they can sing. We tried to go to the homes, as the word said, because here we all come in. So not those super gospel tracts, not the people, give them a schedule of the meetings and invite them to come in. And they hear the word, but in the meantime, we give them a tract to come to them in the home. And it was a block at a time. They covered the whole list. One time to do one block, the next time to do another block, and see the rest of the quarter of the area. So this is what we will see. Any of your friends and anyone who exercises work in the city, then we'd like to have a comment with you. We are weekending, to a whole lot to work and to discuss with us about the city again. We try to work with our children to be using the best work because the friends can have all the comfort to get what you see. Before they're 15, before they're 12, so then you are your remaining there. We did that in another part of the city one time, and the kids, we take them out of the yard, we did those steps from time to come in, and eventually they end up coming when they get to work, they start dressing and coming in, and they come to public school, they come to the campus farm.
A lot of the work that needs to be done by women. Okay, it's really an important area of ministry. Because you have a lot of these ladies along with these kids, and you need women, girls, to go in and just befriend some of these people. And like the brother, he had to reach them young. In going to the jail, I've met at least four or five guys that I knew when they were little that didn't make it to life. And we had a couple of guys that were in there for murder. Just last week, I met one boy, his name is Steve, same name as my son Steve. And he looked in the Henry Center, and we embraced, he was there. Being charged for the murder. And he said, you didn't do it. Nobody does anything in jail. But I meet a lot of these guys, okay? And it's sad to see them there. But, you know, jail ministry is a tremendous thing. A lot of these guys are in the inner city. They're in there, in Rikers Island. You're in Prince Albert, you think they're there. And you have a captive audience in many ways, more than one. And some of these guys pray for it because it's a ministry we are distributing mass forces, and these guys are studying the Word of God. And it's sad. Some of these guys will never get out. Some of them do get out. Jail, you commit manslaughter, you get out in 65 months, I understand. You could be a racist, and you're out on the street in 64 months. You could commit all kinds of robbery. I mean, things are really sad what's going on out there. And these people live right where we live. So ask your prayer that God will reach the little kids. And once you get them in jail, some of them, get them saved by the grace of God. Yeah.
Could I do a further test or look at? We are praying for 15,000 to God to pick up a number of people that are affected.
There are needs within the ministry, and prayer is the greatest thing we can do right now. Let's go on prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for these brothers and sisters who have a concern, Lord, for the needs of the city. We pray that you will bless them, challenge them, and Lord, build that fire within their hearts to become a great flame for thee. We just commit the work of our brother in D.C. We pray for the brothers in Maryland and Minneapolis, those who are from California and those from New York. Father, we commit your work into your hands, that out of the rubble and the sin, a grace might superabound in many ways. We ask your blessing for the remainder of this day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.